The L'Oreal Cosmetics Company is the largest beauty product manufacturer in the world. And it has used the famous slogan, "Because I'm worth it," for many years. Around 2005, the company decided to change that slogan to "Because you're worth it." And then around 2009, they changed it again to "Because we're worth it." Now, L'Oreal also do a line in children's products, L'Oreal Kids, and their slogan is "Because we're worth it too." Now, what's very interesting, I think, in each of those slogans is the pronouns that are used. Whether they want us to assert it ourselves or whether they want to assert it for us, the point is clear, isn't it? As far as L'Oreal are concerned, we're all worth it. That is at least worth the price of a bottle of L'Oreal Elvive, damage care shampoo enriched with natural ceramides. But you know, in contrast to the slogan, "Because I'm worth it," or "Because we're worth it," if there is one key message in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 to 11, then I think it is this: Jesus is worth it. We're going to think a little bit today about true worth. And as we do so, you'll probably find it helpful to have your Bible open there at Mark chapter 14. I want to bring to your attention two instructions from that passage of Scripture that we read together. Here's the first one. Give up the worthless. Give up the worthless. One of the reasons why this passage is so powerful is because it contrasts the attitude and behavior of Judas and the attitude and behavior of this woman. Judas has been with the Lord Jesus for 3 years. He has heard heart-changing teaching. He has seen faith-forming miracles. But you know, even after all of that, Judas still does not really know who Jesus is. And so he does not regard Jesus as worthy of his love. And that's clear. It's clear from his actions. As he witnesses the utter devotion of this woman, what does he do? Well, that kind of seals Judas's decision to go out and to betray Jesus. He goes out and he gives the teachers of the law what they have been waiting for. If you look at verse 1, you'll see that it is described there as a sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him. Look down then at verses 10 and 11, because you'll see there that that is what Jesus does. It says he went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. We know from Matthew chapter 26 and verse 15 that they eventually give him 30 pieces of silver. And you know, that amount of money is quite important. It's significant because under Old Testament law, 30 pieces of silver was the cost of an injured slave. So that's the price, that's the value, if you like, that Judas eventually puts on Jesus. How come? Why does Judas eventually act in this way? Well, you know, actions are always an indication of what is going on in the heart. Actions, if you like, are an indication of what is going on underneath the surface. In Matthew 12, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this. He says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the inner life, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good things stored up in him does good things. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." You see, Scripture portrays our inner lives, our hearts, as being a little like the cockpit of a plane. It's there that decisions are made. Decisions that will determine the direction in which our lives travel. But the question we need to ask ourselves is this: who is the pilot? Who or what is in the driving seat? Who is in control? Who is actually making those decisions and directing things? Well, the answer to that question is whatever you value. Whatever you value most highly, whatever is your treasure, that ultimately is what will direct your life. It is that that will exert that controlling influence on your life. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 21, Jesus says this: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." You see, Judas' problem isn't that he has too little love. His problem is that he has too much love. Too much love for the wrong things. Too much love for what is ultimately worthless. Judas is blinded to the true worth of Jesus. Something else has dazzled his eyes, has captured his heart and his imagination. Maybe it's the money. We know that Judas has a weakness in this department. Remember how he acted as the treasurer for the disciples? John chapter 12 and verse 6 tells us he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Maybe it was the money. Maybe it was something else. You know, Judas has become disillusioned with Jesus. He was happy to go with Jesus and follow Jesus when Jesus talked about the kingdom. Maybe Judas saw himself in a position of power and authority. But when Jesus goes talking about death, Judas decides he's had enough. It's time to jump ship. Jesus can no longer serve his purposes. The reason he acts as he does is because he comes to value something more highly than he values Jesus. Down through the centuries, Judas has been demonized. Judas is, if you like, the original dirty double crosser. He's the man who betrayed God's Son with a kiss. But, you know, is Judas really that unique? I'm not sure that he is. There are probably few of us here today who would want to betray Jesus. Few of us who would say we have anything less than respect for Jesus, God's Son. Few of us who would deliberately sell him at a price. But you know, that's not the same thing as recognizing his true worth and value. If you are here today and you are not yet a Christian, then you need to understand something. You need to understand that being content to live your life without committing yourself to Jesus is actually deciding that Jesus isn't worth it. It's to decide that there is something else, someone else, worthy of your life and commitment. God the Father sent his Son Jesus into this world because he knew exactly, in intimate detail, the deepest need of humanity. The Lord knows, you see, that our fundamental problem is not a physical problem. It's not emotional, financial, educational, or environmental. Our basic and fundamental problem as human beings is our constant tendency to love other things, people, objects, more than we love God. Our constant tendency is our willingness to allow almost anything to occupy that place of significance and importance in our hearts and lives. That is the nature of our basic sinful condition. A condition that results in separation from God. A condition that lays us open and liable to God's judgment, God's punishment. But you know, in a wonderful, daring mission of grace, God himself has acted to save us. God has done what he did not have to do. He has given his own son, Jesus, to solve that basic and fundamental problem. And again today, God the Father comes to us and he says to us, look, Jesus is who you need. He is worthy. He is precious. Because he alone can save you. He alone can change you. And so because of that, he is worthy of your basic commitment, of your trust, of your love, and of your devotion. You see, to decide that, well, you know what, I have great respect for Jesus, but I'm really not that interested in becoming a Christian. To make that kind of decision, to be content to live your life in that way, is to seriously devalue Jesus. It's to fail to appreciate his true worth. You know, I wonder if a video was played out on these screens here of your life, of not what you say, but how you live and what you do. I wonder what that would say about what you truly value. I've known people who have valued the strangest things. I once knew a man who was obsessed by mason ironstone china. This man would travel the length and breadth of the country if he thought he could buy a piece at a good price. He would literally almost talk you to death about how the china was manufactured, about the different designs and patterns. All of his free time was spent buying and selling and reading about china, presumably dusting china. You know, people, we were not created to be obsessed by china. The Lord did not intend for you to give first place in your heart to football, to the television, to your work, to technology, to shopping, to your friends even. We were created to recognize the true worth of Jesus and to live our lives for him. In 79 AD, the city of Pompeii was destroyed by a volcanic eruption. There have been many excavations of that city and of that site, and during one such excavation, a body was discovered embalmed in the ashes from Mount Vesuvius. It was the body of a woman. Her feet were turned towards the city gate. Escape. But her face was turned back towards the danger of the city. One arm was outstretched, grasping, grabbing for something. What was it that lay just beyond her reach? Well, it was a small bag of pearls. Maybe she had dropped them herself. Maybe someone else had dropped them in the rush to escape the city. But either way, death was hard at her heels. Life called to her beyond the city gates. But still this woman, she turned back. And grasping and reaching for what would kill her. For what would end her life. Death was her reward. What are you reaching for? What are you grasping for? What today are your arms stretched out for? What's the goal of your life? What's the treasure of your heart? What if you get it? Do you think all will be well? You know, unless that is Jesus, your reward won't be life. It will be death. Give up the worthless. Here's the second instruction. Give all to the worthy. Give all to the worthy. You know, there is only one worthy of our love and our devotion. There is only one who can rescue us from death. And that is Jesus. This woman in Mark's account As far as she is concerned, she recognizes that Jesus is worth it. And that's evident from her actions. It's evident from what she does. We can't really be sure who this woman is. In all four of the Gospels, there is an account of a woman anointing Jesus. In Matthew's account and in Mark's account, she's not named. In Luke's account, she is identified as a sinful woman. In a similar account here in Mark, she's identified as Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. We don't know how many women there were. We don't know how many anointings there were. But none of that really matters. What matters is what this woman does. Look at verse 3. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of a man known as Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Jesus is in this man's house, quite likely a man whom he healed earlier. As they sit down together at the table to enjoy a meal, this woman appears and she does something that is outrageously extravagant. She has in her possession a little jar molded from alabaster, a bit like plaster of Paris. But it's the value of what's inside this jar that is emphasized. Verse 3, it's very expensive perfume made of pure nard. Verse 5, those who witness this incident value the perfume in this way. It could have been sold for more than a year's wages. Ladies, I hope you're well looked after at home, but you know I'm very doubtful. If any of you have ever received a bottle of perfume of the value of this bottle, in our money today it would be worth something like £22,000. But this woman comes, and what does she do with her treasure? Well, look at the second part of verse 3. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. This little jar of perfume is unique. It's incredibly valuable because of its monetary worth, but also valuable because of its sentimental worth to this woman. It's highly likely that this little jar of perfume would have been part of this woman's dowry. It would have been handed down through the woman in her family, so that on the day of her wedding it would have made her an even more attractive bride. This perfume possesses immense value for this woman. Incredible sentimental value. Ladies, it's like the ring that your grandmother left you, the earrings that your great aunt left you. But what does this woman do with it? Well, she comes and she takes the most precious item she has in the whole world, and she spends it on Jesus. Verse 3, she broke the jar. These little jars were made with long necks. They had no stoppers. Once you broke the jar and opened it, that was it. There could be no going back. It was all or nothing. It was a kind of one-hit wonder. And so irreversibly, this woman gives her all to Jesus. Completely unashamed. Not in a corner. Not in private. She gives her all to the Savior. Look at verse 4. Look at how they interpret what she does. Some of those present were saying indignantly to each other, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her sharply. How is it possible for this woman to act in this way? Why does she do this? Well, you know, as valuable as this jar is and as valuable as this perfume is, she recognizes that it is actually worthless. Worthless when compared to the worth of Jesus. She is able to pour out her most prized possession because she prizes Jesus even more. She is able to give up her treasure because she knows that Jesus is the greatest treasure of all. She knows that all of her hopes, all of her aspirations, all of her longings, all of her needs, all that she could ever want and hope for, all that she is hungering for, all that she is thirsting for, all that she needs to make her secure and joyful and happy in this life, all of that is to be found in Jesus. He is the Messiah. He is the one who will forgive her sins and save her soul. And so this frees her. This frees her to give up her most precious, because she knows in him she will have the most precious. She can give up anything, because she knows that in him she will have everything. Look at the amazing way that Jesus responds to her. Look at the welcome that Jesus gives, the tender welcome to all who will come to him in this same way. Look at verse 6. She has done a beautiful thing to me. Verse 8. She did what she could. Look at verse 9. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. You know, we can search the gospels, but I'm not sure that we will find such encouragement on the lips of Jesus anywhere else. Aren't those wonderful words? But that's the kind of welcome that Jesus gives to all who will come to him in the way that this woman has come to him. It's the kind of welcome that Jesus gives to all who are prepared to give up their most precious and to find in him the most precious. Jesus interprets what she does in a very special way. Look at the second half of verse 8. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Jesus is conscious, you see, that he is traveling to Jerusalem today. He knows he will not be afforded the luxury, as was a common Jewish custom, of having his body anointed after death. So he understands that this anointing at this woman's hand is actually a preparation for what he is about to do on the cross. Foremost in the mind of Jesus is the completion of his mission. Why has he come? To teach, yes. To heal, yes. To live, but ultimately to die. To go to the cross. To suffer the ridicule of people, to be devalued in the sight of humanity. Why is Jesus willing to do this? Well, so that with his own blood he can pay the price. The price required for the forgiveness of men and women. You see, what happens at the cross? Well, you know, at the cross, Jesus gives up his treasure. Jesus gives up his most valued possession. Jesus gives up intimacy with his own Father. In those hours of darkness on that cross, he is utterly forsaken. At the cross, Jesus pours out his life to win our hearts. As the assistant minister in First Ballymena, it's been my privilege to visit people. To visit people very often who are ill in hospital. And you know, of all the visits that I have conducted, one in particular stands out. It was a visit to a woman who was dying of cancer. Dying of cancer, but yet one of the healthiest people I have ever met. In the last few weeks of that lady's life, any time I saw her, her face was shining with joy. Why was that the case? Well, it was the case because she was spiritually healthy. That woman had crystal clear insight into what was of true value. She knew precisely what mattered in life. In those closing days of her life, she could see with such clarity that the very best and finest that this world has to offer is worthless. She possessed the one thing of true value and true worth, a Saviour in Jesus. When that time comes for you, and if the Lord gives you the same clarity, the same insight, will you have the same joy and the same peace? Or will your final hours be filled with fear and regret and despair? Because everything that you gave your heart to in this life, Everything you loved, everything you counted as precious and worthy, has got up and left you. Give up the worthless. Give all to the worthy. Because he and he alone is worth it. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we pray that you would clear our vision. That, Father, in these moments of stillness, you would help us to see the truth. That, Father, you'd help us to know what is real and true. And that, Father, you'd help us turn and trust in Jesus. Father, help us find in him a Saviour who is worthy, precious, and worth it. In his name we pray. Amen.